We're talking with Andy Shore, who is the Assistant Director for State Affairs at the Michigan Municipal League, as well as an Ingham County Board of Commissioner board member. And in the recent Cranes, I saw in an interview that you liked earmarking 85% of the $25 million for brownfield and historic projects. Talk about that.
Sure. Well, actually, I'd like to earmark 85% of a lot more than $25 million. Brownfield projects and historic projects have been tremendous, especially, I live in Lansing, which you know, but, you know, look at Lansing, look at the Accident Fund, look at the Chrisman Building, look at so many of the projects we do in Lansing. Those are all made possible with brownfield credits. The way it works is the locals have a brownfield program, and then the state, in essence, gives tax credits to developers. So if they do a project, after the project is done, they get a 15% credit back on their taxes. They're generating somewhere around 85%. You know, in new revenues. Well, the governor put a line item in. They want to eliminate the tax credits, which they're going to do. The legislature is going to eliminate the tax credits that I just talked about, but they want to appropriate money into, in essence, a grant program for it. The general amount that has been approved over the last 3 years is about $170 million per year from the state, with about, I don't know, $100 million of that actually issued every year. Well, the legislature was going to wipe out the tax credits, but only added in $25 million to make up for it. Well, that's not enough money. That can be used in Detroit and Grand Rapids. You know, that can be used in Detroit alone. In order to actually have an effective program, it needs to be somewhere between $85 and $100 million. When the $25 million was put in, we heard that that money wasn't even going to be used for brownfield and historic makeup. It was going to be used for the old mega credits. So that was where the 85% amendment that you're talking about came in. Representative Sharon Tyler put in an amendment that basically said whatever this new fund is, 85% of it has to go to brownfield historic projects. It can't all be dedicated to mega. It's hugely important to Lansing. It's hugely important to all the projects that we do here. It's important to Detroit. It's important to Ann Arbor. It's important to Niles and Owosso. All the big redevelopment projects that are done are usually done with brownfield and some form of historic tax credit. And I don't want to see those projects go away, so we worked on that. I worked on that very closely with the legislature, and now we're extremely hopeful that the number bumps up from $25 million to, you know, somewhere around $85 to $100 million, and the governor's been very supportive of that, so we'll see what happens.
Andy, when we talk about these tax credits, there's been much discussion how with this $2 billion deficit that the poor, the middle class, the union workers, the teachers, the state workers are carrying more than their fair share, and business and folks who have these tax incentives are not carrying their fair share. What's your take on that?
Well, yeah, trust me, I've heard that too, and that's definitely true. I think that the original idea was to get rid of a lot of tax credits that that are given to specific business-specific industries. If the, I don't know, if the vending machine people get a tax credit or the airline fuel people get a tax credit, the original idea was to get rid of some of those in order to raise revenues. With the brownfield and historic credits, those are not business-specific. Those are actually building-specific. If a building is redeveloped, then that, you know, then you've got a new beautiful building that businesses want to come into, and it creates jobs, and it creates new revenues, and then the credit is on the new revenues. So it doesn't actually cost the state anything. So there's a little bit of a difference between what you're talking about and what I'm talking about, and we think that these credits actually bring in more revenues to the state. They bring in, you know, quite a bit, and they bring, you know, people to the city. If you think of, again, you think of the accident fund, that's bringing, how many is it, 800 or, you know, 1,000 workers, whatever it is, to downtown. If you think of the Chrisman Building, you know, you've got businesses there. If you think of a variety of the buildings that have been done, it brings in jobs and it brings in revenues to the city and state. The other pieces, you know, of the governor's budget, yeah, that's true. You know, when you look at the MBT, Michigan Business Tax, you know, elimination, that is an elimination of a tax on businesses, which is, in essence, going to be made up with a variety of new taxes on pensions and other things. And if the argument is that that's going to hit seniors, or you're going to, you know, cut teachers because K-12 is going to get cut, or revenue sharing is going to get cut, so cities are going to get cut, that is an argument that you're going to hear a lot, and it's a legitimate argument, I think.
Andy, and we're talking with Andy Shore, who's also running for state representative. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. You've got a couple of young kids, as do I. What's your take on the cutting of the K-12 budget?
I'm really upset about that, to be honest with you. Yeah, I've got my son is in elementary school in the Lansing Public Schools. My daughter will be in that school in September over at Mount Hope. And you know what? The governor wants to press the reset button and slash a lot of things. And my honest fear is that we're going to reset. And what happens after? How do we get back? How do we, you know, the cuts are so huge that you're going to see buildings close, and you're going to see bigger class sizes, and you're going to see, you know, teachers getting cut when they've taken cuts over the years. You know, they've had salaries stay lower so they can have better health care, and now the legislature wants to cut their health care and their salaries. I think that the cuts are severe, and I don't support the cuts to the K-12 budget. I think it goes a little further than what the state can handle, and that greatly concerns me.
Let's talk about the city of Lansing and its education. It appears that there's much dysfunction when you talk about the Lansing School District's Board of Education, its working relationship with Superintendent T.C. Wallace. As an outsider looking in, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, as a parent, as a, you know, a citizen of Lansing, I just want it to work. I want the administration and the school board to have, you know, a good enough relationship to focus on the kids in the schools. I don't know enough about the inner workings of what's going on there. I've probably read the newspaper, just like everyone else. I've talked to a few school board members. I know I've talked with Nicole Armbruster, who is the newest school board member, and she's got kids in the schools. And some of my frustrations, you know, are her frustrations, just in terms of when things don't go right. And I know that she's working hard. You know, I've talked to Guillermo Lopez. I've talked to a variety of the school board members, and everyone seems to have their own frustrations. You know, I don't know the answer. At the county, you know, we work with our controller who we trust, and she brings us a product, and we amend it and change it and make it what we agree with, and then we go forward. So, you know, I don't know. I think it seems that some of the process may be off, but I can't say that's true for sure because school board is different from the county. I know the way we do it works pretty well, but I don't know. It seems like there's something that needs to be changed, or there's maybe a communication issue. But again, I'm not close enough to it. I just want it all to work, and I think that's what you know, the folks who have come out recently, the mayors and others who've come out, Mr. Ferguson and others. I think that's what they're saying. We just need everyone needs to get on the same page and make sure that the schools work and that the cuts, whatever cuts they have to do, you know, are appropriate. I'm hopeful that nothing drastic happens or gets dropped in whatever the communication issues are. But again, I'm not close enough to it other than being a parent and not wanting to see, you know, my children's education suffer.
Andy Shore, we appreciate your candor and your takes, and we'll talk with you soon.
Thanks as always, Tony. I appreciate it.
You're listening.